special in-studio guest. Boy, this is the second day in a row that we've had someone in studio for Gordo's Corner. And I always love it when we have in-studio guests. It's always so fun. So much more fun than having someone on the phone. But in studio with us, who is this?
It's fun.
It's heavy breathing. Can we even say who that is?
No. Just heavy breathing guy.
Someone from the ticket's past that Craig is imitating.
A very dear friend of ours.
Very dear friend of ours. Indeed. That is pass away.
Yes.
He has passed away. Well, joining us in studio right now is Marissa Stabler. Welcome to the show, Marissa.
Hi. Yeah.
Now, your last name may sound very familiar to football fans because your dad was the late, great Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Dang right.
You dang right. And
greatness.
Kenny Stabler was, of course, huge in my household. He was probably pretty big in your household, too, Marissa, when you were growing up. But name was big in my household growing up because my brother was obsessed with Kenny Stabler. It's his favorite football player of all time. And actually, Marissa's been nice in helping me get my brother a birthday gift one time, something of your father's. And I wanted you to come up here because you're involved in something that I think is extremely important, and it's something that ended up affecting your life and your father's life. Tell us the cause that you're involved in.
Yes, I'm working with the Concussion Legacy Foundation. They are an amazing nonprofit, with their focus being on advancing the study, treatment, and prevention of brain trauma, and athletes as well as other at-risk groups. But they're also the largest outreach and recruiting arm for the largest CTE bank in the world, and that's where my dad's brain was donated when he passed away.
And was there any doubt that you guys were going to do this after your father passed away? Was he, did he feel like he had suffered brain trauma that was affecting his cognition?
Yes, and we certainly in his later years it became more obvious. You know, really, CTE wasn't a huge topic of conversation when I was growing up. It wasn't until, you know, the past decade that it even became top of mind. But he saw, after Junior Seau donated his brain and spinal cord, he requested that we do the same. And in terms of what we began to see is that he always would always repeat himself, and that got a lot worse in later years. And he had an amazing long-term memory. If you go back and listen to the Hardline interview that he did, he could recall a play right down to the very down. You know, a great storyteller around mm-hmm. it. But he would constantly repeat himself. And I remember it's probably a few years ago when he came to visit me in Dallas. And my dad was a huge CNN fan. That's what mm-hmm. he would stay when he'd stay at my apartment. He'd watch CNN all day. And he told me about one story that he saw, like, you know, very in detail. And then 3 minutes later, he told me the exact same thing as mm-hmm. if we'd never had the conversation before. Mm. So that was probably the most obvious. And then he started to complain about a constant ringing in his ear and could not sleep, even with sleeping medication. He would get 4 hours. And then he had to stop listening to music in the car, which my dad is a huge lifelong lover of music. So that was really big. And then began to lose his sense of direction at a four-way stop sign.
Mm-hmm. And how old was he when he first started exhibiting these symptoms and you started seeing the uptick in them?
Yeah, I'd say the memory thing, short-term memory loss, was probably maybe in his 50s, because he died when he was 69 years old. And then probably when he got into his 60s, early mid-60s, some of these other signs started to show. But, and we weren't really connecting the dots until kind of those later years.
And he ended up passing away of colon cancer, which in some way probably spared him the worst of the cognitive decline. It would have gotten worse had colon cancer not taken his life before.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's, you know, I can't imagine what would have happened later, because they do say there's often this rapid decline that starts showing itself, and that's certainly what we were seeing. And, you know, when they found out he had stage 3 CTE on a scale of 1 to 4, so it was like moderately severe, which surprises some because he, you know, was a quarterback. But I think it just goes to show that it's not just these major concussions, but it's those, you know, incremental hits and blows to the head that start adding up over time.
It's a cumulative effect.
Yes.
But with concussions, did he even know how many he had? Because back when he played,
yeah.
I don't even know if guys
yeah,
even kept track of.
Yeah, they didn't care about that stuff.
Or
almost.
If they're even diagnosed with that. You know, just got his bell rung.
Right. Yeah. And that was the term, is, you know, getting your bell rung. And I mean, back in those days, he said it was one of the salts that they would, you know, pop one of those.
Yeah, the smelling salts.
Yeah. and just send you right back out. So it just, yeah, there wasn't any protocol, you know, when he was playing as there is today.
We're visiting with Marissa Stabler, daughter of Kenny Stabler, the NFL legend, and you're with the Concussion Legacy Foundation, and you guys are making a push right now. What is the goal that you're working towards?
Right, so February is Brain Pledge Month. Their goal is to get 500 new brain pledges. You know, my dad was, in the past, most recent years, a third of NFL players who passed away have donated their brains to CTE. But they also need controls, because part of this is, you know, with the study, you need controls to be able to study the athlete's brain against. And there's also focus as well on military veterans and female athletes. So the goal is to get 500. Anyone can pledge their brain, no matter of like your primary sport. My last primary sport was cheerleading in middle school. I made the pledge. And can do that at pledgemybrain.org.
Okay. And so, see, that's interesting to me, because I wouldn't think about that you guys need control brains as well to compare NFL brains to other sports brains, to other minimal exposure to sports. You guys need these things, and it's kind of, you know, morbid to talk about in a way. But once, we've talked about organ donation on this show before. We had a good friend of ours who used to work up here at the Ticket, whose daughter died young, and they donated her organs, and it ended up giving a lot of people a lot longer lives because of their donation. We had him up here to talk about the importance of organ donation. I think all three of us are organ donors, and this is another form of giving that people can do. After we've passed away, we can still be of use to other people, and this would be a good way for someone to do that.
Absolutely. I feel that it was my dad's last gift to football and to sports when he donated his brain, so I feel like it's the least I can do. You know, I think as of right now, they've had 800 brain donations total, you know, with the majority of those being athletes. But again, anyone can donate their brain, because we need those controls.
Mm-hmm. And what was the website again?
Pledgemybrain.org.
Okay. And Marissa, we have a couple other things that I wanted to cover with you in the time that we have with you. We appreciate you taking time out of your day, by the way, to come up here. One is the fact that last night you were on a very controversial television program with a host that has been embroiled in a lot of lawsuits and a lot of questionable behavior. Tell us what program you're on last night.
I was on Mike Ducey's Free For All.
Oh, man. You got to be careful going on that show. You really do.
How did that go?
You got some quality programming.
How many times did you have to slap away his hand?
Just three.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. That happens to us, too.
Are you used to doing TV? Because you've done a bit of it. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't say used to. You know, I'm not as great on camera or on the air as, you know, say Dave or my dad. But usually it's just around something, whether it's raising awareness for an effort related to my dad, you know, and when he went to the Hall of Fame, did a few rounds as well.
Mm-hmm. So you had to appear in you've appeared in several documentaries. I'll see your face in those when you're talking about your dad and that. And I think it's interesting because you grew up in a famous family, and then you ended up marrying into fame as well.
I know, now I'm in his shadow.
Will you tell us what famous celebrity, do you feel comfortable revealing what famous celebrity you're married to?
I think most of your listeners know him as Gen X Davey.
Whoa!
This is not disclosure! This is not disclosure! Let's go around the horn! Let's go around the horn.
Wow, and Gen X Davey.
Which is so strange. I remember when I first found out, hey, did you hear who Dave's dating? No, who's that? Kenny Stabler's daughter. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. I need a moment to sit down and try to process what I've just heard. Where did you meet Dave?
Is actually through the Ticket, I guess you could say. Brian Damaris invited me to Michael Gruber's birthday party in Twilight Lounge.
I was about to say, band or something.
Now I need to sit down to process all of this.
Birthday
Craig
needs a moment.
Damaris invited Marissa to Gruber's birthday party.
Yeah. Somebody always comes back to Gruber's.
So crazy. Yeah. And you talked with Dave, and what's amazing to me is that you weren't immediately put off by his lack of personality.
might have been the two failed marriages that gave me some hesitation. Yeah.
Did he lead with those in conversation? Is that the way? Was that his opening line?
I think he was coming out of his second divorce when we first met.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
And you said, "Hey, this guy's a catch."
We began as friends.
And How long did it take before you felt the butterflies of love visit you?
Pretty soon thereafter. Right. I mean, like I said, we talked. We had work in common. We both work in the advertising industry. And just began to hang out. And
a lot of ad talk?
Yeah, a lot of that. And then going to see, you know, some 80s shows.
you like 80s music.
That still happens every weekend.
Now, and there's an age difference. He is 23 years older than you are, or how?
A little less than that.
Okay, all right.
You can shave off 6 years.
No, Dave's a charming guy, and he's a funny guy, and I bet you he makes you laugh a lot, doesn't he?
He does, and, you know, I mean, he's hilarious, and, you know, he reminds me a lot of my dad in a way that he's very OCD and a neat freak, so they're always picking up after me. and obviously, he's a great caretaker, and, you know, he's a great father to his little girl, too.
And has he signed the pledge, or did they reject his brain just outright?
I mean, I
said we're not interested.
Yeah, I think he got a return email.
Poor Davey.
No, thank you.
This brain is way too filled with 80s music. We have to move on.
It's that capacity on 80s trivia. Yeah, so, and has he signed this pledge? Have you convinced him to do this?
I am sending him the link today.
Oh, today
you
are. Today's going to be the day you do it. Well, it's very interesting. And tell us about, like, what about your dad would most people not guess about him? Did he have some odd hobby or interest or, like, was he into origami or something and you don't see the snake?
I'm trying to think. I want to give you all something that I haven't said before. I think it's when I think back, I mean, you know, he's from Alabama. Was born and raised, moved back, and then, you know, he was very goofy, but he'd always have these little sayings, and I don't know if they did this in Mississippi. Apparently nobody else has experienced this, but he would always come up and sneak up on me and do horse bites the corn.
Horse biting corn. My dad used to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's a first.
Horse biting corn, yeah.
And then...
Wait, what is horse biting corn?
You take, at least the way my dad used to do it, he'd take, you know, his hand and put it around your knee and squeeze.
Yes, yeah. And it would. And my dad had really, really big hands, and I would scream. I'm like, "No, Daddy, no!" But he'd always come up and do it to me and Alexa, and it's just one of those horrible scream fits a tickle.
Yeah, I think it's a real country thing.
Yeah,
that country. That same thing. That's funny.
Yeah, and if he would pass gas, he would always say,
"Oh no,
Lord,
blame it on the dog."
No, it's spider barked. Spider bark.
So spider bark.
I've heard that one before. Yeah. I always just blame it on the dog.
So I taught that one to Dave because there's a lot of spiders barking in our house.
Dave's doing that in front of
you. Why are you telling us that?
I thought we brought him up better than that.
Is this something you do in front of him?
No. Yeah,
that's what he does in front of me.
Oh, he does in front of you. Okay, gotcha. No. And what about, what did Kenny do with his money? Did he like power boats? Did he like race cars? What was his soft spot that he would spend on?
Right, yeah. I don't think he managed it really well, especially like coming out of his NFL career. But powerboats were a really big thing of his. I mean, you can look up some images, and there's some very Kenny Power-esque photos.
I saw him when I lived in Central Texas. He, I guess, spent the weekend near the lake where I lived. And, yeah, he rolled up in a jet boat. That was the coolest thing ever. And your dad, named the top 10 coolest players of all time.
Oh, yes.
Kenny Stabler's on the list. There's no doubt. Your
hair
dad was
hanging
the coolest.
Out of the back of his helmet. Yes. And he was left-handed. So cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. That he was all, he was just unstable and wild. That's what I love about him.
Yeah. He was great, too.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, he's from Alabama, and I was born and raised in Alabama. That's what I saw was the University of Alabama football side. He did, took a job to do color commentary for their football broadcast. So we were up there every single weekend when I was younger. So I got to see that side of him. And, you know, you go to Alabama game day.
Isn't that a great place?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And, you know, you get in your Sunday's best. Everybody dresses up real clean cut. And that's what I knew. And Dad was very much a Southern gentleman. Then when he passed away, you know, I kind of got to learn this whole Raiders side and the Raider fans, which is complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Like they're very passionate fans. I mean, they would cut somebody for me, but like it is a very two different groups of fans. But my dad was just kind of like this perfect blend of both.
It's probably changed, but the first time I went to Bryant Denny Stadium, we went up the elevator, and right as it opens on the radio level, there's a picture of the Bear talking to one of his quarterbacks. And you're thinking, man, is that Namath? Who is that? But you see who it is because on the hip pad it said Stabler. It's a great picture. I hope it's still up there as a legacy to what your dad meant to Alabama football, let alone the Raiders. But, yeah, that's where it all started. And he's a big winner in high school too, wasn't he? They win state titles or something?
Yeah, I think they were undefeated. I think they had one tie in his entire high school career. But wow. Yeah, and that's where he got the nickname Snake.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, Marissa, thanks for stopping by up here. And at some point, and I hate to ask you to do this, but since you have connections, you think there's any way we could get Gen X Davey on the show sometime?
I think I might be able to arrange that.
Yes.
Whoa.
That'd be a huge
We have a special Spider Bark microphone that we'll mic him up with, and he can join us. It's Marissa Stabler. Give us the website again for people to contribute, possibly something that they can give your foundation.
Absolutely. It's pledgemybrain.org. And again, anybody can donate. Each brain pledge is a contribution not only to CTE research, but again, helping us in concussions.
All right. Marissa Stabler.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, Marissa.